The Phoenix Suns have been in rebuilding mode for nearly a decade. New players coming and going and lots of management turnover. One of the Suns' former executives who had success here in the Valley went on to win a championship in Cleveland. Then he took a new job last summer.
It's an honor now to present to you the new executive vice president of the New Orleans Pelicans, David Griffin.
David Griffin grew up in Phoenix as a Suns fan and worked his way nearly to the top of the organization's basketball operations before moving on to other opportunities in Cleveland and now New Orleans. Griffin never played professional basketball and has faced two cancer battles, but has overcome those challenges to be one of the most respected leaders in the NBA. I talked with him before the season to learn more about how he's reached this level and his expectations with a new team. We started the conversation by considering how much he's carried his Suns' experience to his later high-profile jobs.
Yeah, I think a great deal of it actually came from the Phoenix Suns and from what we learned being in the presence of Jerry Colangelo and Cotton Fitzsimmons and Brian Colangelo, people that had done it at a very high level. I was really fortunate to get to be raised in a basketball environment that was run like a family because it was owned by the Colangelo family. And everything was done in that family-like atmosphere. So the vast majority of what I learned about culture building and the way to raise a family came from them. And then we were fortunate enough to get to apply a lot of those lessons in Cleveland, make some mistakes along the way, and I think have some success along the way and sort of hone the idea of how we do this. So we feel like now we're going to get to apply all those lessons here in New Orleans and have to this point. Thankfully, Mrs. Benson has given us the bandwidth to do that, and we feel very blessed to be in this situation.
You ran the Cavaliers during a very successful period for the organization, but when you came to the organization, there was a different sort of rebuilding project there, and then LeBron James, one of the greatest players of all time, gets there. You talk about family, talk about trusting each other. Can a team win an NBA championship or be really, really successful without the so-called multiple superstars?
Yeah, I think you probably need to have a number one best player in order to really succeed in any sports endeavor. Any league, really, you need to have a guy who is a number one guy that can carry the load to, in terms of being a Final Four caliber team, a conference finals caliber team. That's sort of how we look at everything in terms of what role would that player be capable of playing on a championship caliber team. And I think what's happened is an awful lot of attention has been put in the idea that if your top three are all really number ones, then basically anybody else can be in the top nine. Okay. That's sort of what teams have tried to employ, is that idea. If you look through the history of the NBA, it didn't necessarily require three superstars to win. It required a very well thought out team building approach. And if you had a superstar, you made them look even better with the team you put around them. And we're hoping that's what we can do.
As a guy who is height challenged, who never played in the NBA, never came close, and yet people have so much respect for you. How much work has gone into that? And did you envision this happening? Because if you did, that's amazing.
You know, it's funny, actually. I didn't envision this happening in this way. I didn't anticipate that certainly we were going to win a championship in a small market and then have an opportunity to come apply all those lessons to a similar market that really views itself as being wholly unique, very much like Cleveland does. There are two very provincial areas. You don't understand what it means to be of New Orleans until you are of New Orleans. So I certainly didn't envision that we were going to apply this trade in those markets. You know, growing up a live and die Suns fan, as I know you did, your dream is you're going to do it there. And I was really blessed to get to be there for long enough to learn from some really good people. So I can't say I connected the dots to say it was going to be done in markets that were going to be this meaningful to us as people. But Meredith and I, when we first got married, we would have told you that this was going to be what happens. We're going to win championships. We're going to build families. We're going to change cultures, because that's sort of what we believed in. And we were just really blessed along the way to have a lot of good luck that took us there. You've heard this said before, and I know this is something that you apply to your life and the way you live your life and the way you touch people. Nobody knows how much you know. Nobody knows anything about how much you told them or educated them or anything else. They all know how you made them feel. And why wouldn't you want people to feel better when they walk away from you every day? And that's sort of what we try to do.
You mentioned the word blessed or blessing a lot. Why is that such an important word for you?
the part of this journey that we never could have predicted was going through cancer twice, having to go through chemo, having to be put in some very uncomfortable positions and learning exactly how strong we could be. I would have told you that before all of those things happened, I was much more of a people pleaser. And I had to find my own sort of authentic swing, I suppose, as a leader, and find that part of me that could have uncomfortable conversations with people. And I think because I went through that process, because I was forced to see just in how incredibly insignificant we all are as individuals and how significant we can be as people, as a group, I think it really helped me a lot. And it took a lot of the me out of my life, and it put me much more into the frame of mind that we're literally all just blessed is the word to get to wake up here every day. And I am not a terribly religious person, which I know you know.
Yeah.
I would tell you I'm fairly spiritual. And I've said this many times, the universe doesn't make mistakes. Meredith and I were led to this opportunity because it's exactly where we're supposed to be, and it's exactly where we can make the most impact. And I think of that as a blessing. Some people think of that as dumb luck. Some people think of that as being something that is totally insignificant and that life is random. That's fine. But what has gotten me to this point is I really do believe that there's something inherently divine about the energy that all human beings share, and I feel grateful to get to be part of it.
You've won a championship. You've had tremendous success. The old job interview question, where do you see yourself and the Pelicans in the next 3 years?
Our marketing campaign is really going to focus on what it means to be a member of this team, what it means to be part of this family, and who we are and what we want to be. And success for us is going to be to establish a baseline of the intensity with which we're going to play with, the style of play we'll have on both sides of the floor. Success is going to be laying the groundwork for what becomes 15 to 20 years of a run of excellence. And that's what we anticipate having eventually, is a very long, very successful run.
That's David Griffin, Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations for the New Orleans Pelicans. You may know him better as one of the men behind building the foundation for a very successful Phoenix Suns organization over the years. David, thanks for the conversation, man. Best of luck.
Steve, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And Griffin's Pelicans sent the Suns to their third straight loss last night, 124 to 121.